السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we are on the last section of the set of ayat of Surah Luqman, which I began, I think, now many months ago, looking at the advice that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Luqman in the Quran. And we have been through all of them, and now we are on the final, the last of those ayat in the last section, which deals with manners, with akhlaq. As you know, I teach branding. And if you ask me, what is the single most critically important quality that one must have to succeed in the world, I would say differentiation. Differentiation is what creates brand. Brand inspires loyalty, loyalty enables influence. Without brand, you are a grain of rice in a sack. You are still rice, but one grain in a sack. Nobody knows that you exist. Nobody cares. You would be used for the benefit of others. You will not be able to benefit yourself. Your destiny will be written by others, while you pay for it with your energy, resources, blood, and lives. Does this sound familiar? This is what has happened to us Muslims. We are like the foam on the flood. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described times like these in the famous hadith, we have size but no weight, no significance or importance. People use us to promote their agenda at our cost. We have nobody to blame but ourselves. We are living out the reality of those who refuse to act. The question is, how much longer do we want to continue like this? As they say, as the quote is, if not now, when? If not I, who? This is a quote ascribed to a famous classical Jewish scholar called Hillel the Elder, who died in Jerusalem in 10 CE. Another one of his famous quotes, which I want to mention in passing, is what came to be called eventually as the Golden Rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Hillel the Elder said, that which is hateful to you, do not do it to your fellow. That is the whole Torah, the whole Torah. The rest is the explanation. Go and learn. That's his quote. I repeat, that which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow. That is the whole Torah. The rest is explanation. Go and learn. I think very wise words for us to reflect on in terms of the meaning of the Quran and why the Quran came and what we are doing with it. It is characteristic of the Quran al-Kareem to give its message in the most efficient way possible by cutting to the chase, going to the fundamental which drives all action, and that is attitude. So the advice about manners is not about etiquette, it is about attitude, which must and does precede all etiquette. How do you define yourself? That is the meaning of attitude. In Surah Al-Luqman, the ayat, the last two of them which we will deal with in this khutbah and in a couple more inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ولا تسعر خدك للناس ولا تسعر خدك للناس ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. And don't turn your face away from men with pride. Do not turn away your face from the people with pride, and do not walk in arrogance through the earth. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like an arrogant boaster. In the ayat after that, وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشِيكَ وَقْضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّا أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. And be moderate and do not show arrogance. Be humble and do not show arrogance in your walking. And lower your voice. Verily, the harshest of all voices is the voice of the ass, the braying of the ass. Good manners are the result of a person considering others more important than himself or herself. The root of good manners is humility. Genuine humility that comes from a person recognizing his or her own weaknesses and faults. It is the greatest strength of an individual to recognize their own weaknesses. It is the greatest strength of an individual to recognize their own weaknesses. As Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi said, when someone praises you, remember that it is not you but the cover that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed over your faults that He is praising. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi said, I remind myself and you, when someone praises you, remember that it is not you but the cover that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed over your faults that He is praising. This is not a matter of polite talk. One must genuinely consider others to be better than oneself, because the chances are that they most likely are better than ourselves. Now, how is that, you may ask? Better or worse is something that Allah and only Allah can and will judge when we meet Him. So who knows what the other person is likely to do before he or she meets Allah? And who knows what you and I are likely to do before we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There are many instances, recorded instances, of people who lived a life of sin. And close to their death, they made tawbah and they died on iman and they came into Islam. And similarly, the opposite also, there are many stories of people who lived lives of virtue and who became scholars and so on, but then their minds got twisted by shaitan and they said things and they did things which took them out of Islam. If you look at, for example, the people who claimed Risalat after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whether it is Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani or others, they were scholars in their own right. So what happened to them? So anyone who feels that I am safe from shaitan is sitting in the lap of shaitan. I mentioned the story of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi many times before, and I mentioned it again and again to remind myself. His son Muhammad bin Ahmad narrates that when his father was passing away, he was in the state of nazar, meaning that he would lose consciousness and he would regain consciousness. And every time he regained consciousness, he would say, "Not yet, not yet." So Muhammad bin Ahmad said, "I got worried. Says, what has happened to my father at this last moments of his life? Has he suddenly become afraid of death, or what is happening? Why is he saying this? Not yet, not yet." So he said, when my father said this, the time he came back to consciousness in the state of nazar, and he said this, he said, I asked him, I said, "What do you mean? Why are you saying this?" He said, "Don't you see who is here?" Now Muhammad said, "No, I don't see who is here." He said, "Iblis is sitting here. Shaitan is sitting here in front of me, and he is saying, "Ya Ahmad, you escaped me, you escaped me." And I am replying to him, "Not yet, not yet, because I am not dead yet." He said, "I would have escaped him only if I die on Iman." And I think this is something that we need to constantly remind ourselves. Especially when you feel that you are doing something great and people are praising you and so on, even more reason to remind yourself that it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will decide. And therefore I always seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from myself. So to say that someone is a better person than I am is a statement that is more likely to be true than the opposite. Humility is the basis of good manners. Humility is the quality of the Anbiya, who were in fact the best and most honorable of people. While arrogance is the quality of Shaitan and his cohorts, who are in fact the worst of people. Two people made a mistake. And they made the same mistake, which is disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One was Adam alayhi salam and his wife, our mother and father. And the other was Iblis. But when they were made conscious of their mistake, when they became conscious of their mistake, when they realized that they had made a mistake, what was the attitude of Adam alayhi salam and his wife? رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Humility. Oh Allah, this is our fault. Oh Allah, we have transgressed. And oh Allah, if you do not forgive us, then we are lost. Whereas what was the attitude of Iblis? أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تِينٍ. I am superior to him. He is made from clay. I am made from fire. My race is superior to him. A racist remark, an arrogant remark. Racism started then, not today. I am superior to him, I am a better creation than him. You're saying it to whom? To the one who created. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. That's why I say to people that where you are is no guarantee for either good or evil. Sometimes people come to me, you know, young boys who are going out to study to different countries and say, "Oh, Sheikh, this place is full of fitna." I said, what is it meaning full of fitna? What fitna? There is fitna everywhere. How is any place more full of fitna than any other place? As long as you remember who you are, as long as you remember who you worship, as long as you remember that one day you will die and you will stand before Allah, what is fitna? A place does not guarantee anything. Iblis committed the biggest sin in the most muqaddas place, in the most holy of holy places, far more holy than the Kaaba, which is what? The actual presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the place didn't save him. So it's not a question of place, it's a question of our attitude. It's a question of who you are and what you want to do. If you want to disobey Allah, believe me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given everyone the freedom to do what they want. قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Say to them, the truth is my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. But there is no compulsion on you to believe it or not to believe it, follow it, not to follow, up to you. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ. The one who wants to believe this and to bring Iman and to have faith, let him do that. وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. And the one who wants to deny that, let him deny. So until as long as this breath is going, there is no guarantee. We must keep on making tawbah. We must keep on making istighfar. We must keep on reminding ourselves that no good can come out of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And no evil can come out of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. I don't know why this is so difficult for people who are otherwise intelligent and who are conscious and who are educated to grasp this one very simple fundamental rule, that no good can come out of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and no evil can come out of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. If we mold our lives on this basis, That is called taqwa. I'm doing a series of other reminders on taqwa. Those of you who listen to them, you would be seeing them. This is the meaning of taqwa. The meaning of taqwa is to understand this one simple rule. And therefore, do only what pleases Allah and do not do that which does not please Allah. No matter what it does or who else it pleases or displeases. And remember very clearly, whatever you may do or not do, you will always have supporters. Whatever, good or bad, you will always have supporters. The issue is not whether you have supporters. The issue is who is supporting you. Shaitan has supporters. The Anbiya also have supporters. Iblis is not sitting alone, lonely by himself. No, he's got plenty. You might even say he has more supporters than the Anbiya, alayhimus salam. But who will be successful on the day of judgment before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is what we have to ask ourselves. And therefore, do not do anything which displeases Allah, which includes participating in things which displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might say, well, I'm not doing it, I'm not paying for it, I'm just going there because it is my friend, because it is my relative. Then who is Allah? Allah is not your friend and relative, but you have a relationship to Allah, no? And that relationship goes on after your relationship with this friend and relative has finished. Then what? You want to destroy a relationship which is ongoing for a relationship that is temporary and which will perish. Does it make sense? Ask yourself. Because these are the tests that you and I are put to every single day. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the test is so simple, so painless. And then pass that test. And the way you pass the test is what? By sticking to this one rule. Never do anything which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brother and sister, the ayat which I recited of Suratul Surah Al-Luqman, they mention two things, two aspects of arrogance: body language and voice. Two aspects of arrogance in which arrogance is conveyed: body language and voice. Body language that communicates arrogance and looking down on others, looking over the heads of people when you talk to them as if you are wearing a stiff collar, talking to them like this. Those of you who want to see how that looks, look at Donald Trump. He's a brilliant example of talking with a stiff collar of the neck. Now his head is always at the angle of 45 degrees, up like this. Typical arrogance that is seen. And voice is, it does not refer to calling out to somebody because they are far away. That's raising the voice doesn't mean that. Raising the voice means raising the voice by talking arrogantly and loudly. Obviously, this means also cursing and raving and ranting, but we're not talking. I'm talking about generally, even if you are not angry, there are some people who talk like that. Simple things. I've seen people, for example, if someone comes and they meet them, I've seen people who say, "Kone tum?" Bolta sa, bhai, kahi de, kahi baat hai? Kone tum? Kya jawab dena usko? This is arrogance. This is pure arrogance. Right? Now, he has not cursed. He has not... gali nahi diye kuch. Magar the way of asking. Kone? So, very, very important to understand this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person who keeps another person standing in his presence out of a sense of arrogance, meaning that how can he sit in my presence? A person who keeps another person who is so-called of a, you know, lower category or whatnot, maybe an employee or something, he keeps him standing in his presence to show his own importance. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the day of judgment, this person will go into Jahannam and he will search and find his own place. Just keeping a person standing out of a sense of arrogance. So it may not look like a big thing, but the issue is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, This is a very big matter. Rasulullah used to turn completely to face anyone that he was talking to. He never spoke to people over the shoulder or in passing. If someone addressed him, then he would completely turn and look at the person straight and he would talk to them. The amazing thing is that the writers of Sirah, they report that he did that even when he was sitting, which is physically more difficult to do. I mean, while standing it's easy, but if you are sitting, to turn around completely or to turn to one side, it's even more difficult. But he did that. He never talked to people without giving them full attention. We've all heard the famous hadith about consideration for others, where Rasulullah said, the authority of Abu Hamza Anas bin Malik, who was a servant of Rasulullah for 10 years from the time he was a little boy. He was about 10 years old when he was sent into the service of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he stayed with him all his life till Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away. He said that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, none of you is a believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. None of you is a believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And this hadith is a Sahih hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. My brothers and sisters, wanting the best for yourself is human nature. It's also animal nature. It's not restricted to material possessions. It encompasses everything we want in every aspect of our lives. But this is really an animal instinct. Animals want the same thing. They want the best for themselves, best piece of grass, whatever it is. What makes us human is wanting the best for others. Wanting the best for others is a true sign of love for others. And that is the reason we do da'wah. Because we want Jannah for all mankind, not only for ourselves. If you look at the takfir culture that we seem to have developed for ourselves, it looks like we want Jannah only for yourself, nobody else. Everyone else is out. But this is not Islam. Islam is to want Jannah for everyone, for all of mankind. There's a famous story that I must tell you. When Inamul Hasan rahmatullahi alayh was the head of Tablighi Jamaat, there was an istima in Lucknow. And the head of the Shia, Maulana Kalbe Sadiq, who is also a member of the Muslim Personal Law Board, he came to that istima. That was a strange thing, because usually the Shia people don't come to Tablighi istimas, but he came. And he said, I want to meet the Amir Sahib, Hazrat Ji. So the Tablighi brothers who were in istiqbal and so on, they were very surprised. But anyway, I mean, akhlaq, somebody comes and he is an alim. So they took him to meet Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Alayh. So he came and he said, I have only come to ask one question. That's it. I am sorry to disturb you, but I have come to ask only one question. So he said, what's the question? He said, the question is that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that my ummah will be split into 73, firqas, 73 divisions. One will go to Jannah, all the others will go to Jahannam. He said, my question is, which division, which group is that, which will go to Jannah? So this is the question. The reply of Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, may Allah bless him, is such a beautiful reply. Yeah, he did not say the Shia will go, the Sunni will go, the Tablighi will go, the Jamaat Islami will go, or Salafi will go, Hanafi will go, Shafi will go. No. He said the one firqa, the one group who will go to Jannah, is the one which wants Jannah for all the others. The one who will go to Jannah is the one who wants Jannah, and he works for that for all the others. This is the group which will go to Jannah, whoever that might be. Yeah? So true sign of love is da'wah, because we want Jannah for everyone. It's one of the dichotomies of modern society, that we speak about the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then we promote individual competition and individual consumption and ruthless fighting for resources, which is the opposite of this stated principle. And that's why Islam condemns hypocrisy and nifaq in every possible way. Sadly, Islam condemns it, but Muslims embrace it with both arms. Wanting the best for the other is not about altruism or charity or even compassion. It is self-interest in its best form. Because it's only when you practice this rule that you will get the best yourself. Happiness lies in the smile of the other, not in the possessions you own. Possessions add cost, not value. Character adds value and costs nothing. In fairy tales, we are told about invincible heroes whose souls used to be not in their own bodies, but in the body of a bird in a cage. And so this hero could never be killed until, of course, someone discovered the fact about the parrot in the cage. And then the truth of the fact that every soul shall taste death is established. I am reminded of this because similar is the case of the seat of happiness. The seat of our happiness is not within ourselves. It's not in self-gratification, not in satisfying our senses, not in accumulating possessions, property, land, or authority. Our happiness resides in the hearts of others, in the filling of empty bellies, in the wiping away of tears of bereavement, fear, and pain, in the kindling of hope in hearts that are sunk in despair, in putting back the smiles on the faces of orphans and widows, and men who are left alone and without support in a world that is groaning under the burden of the possessions of others. It lies in extending your hand and holding the hand of the one who has fallen to lift him up so that he may walk again. Happiness lies in tending to the sick, feeding the poor, paying for the education of those for whom that is the only route to open the door to a future that might be bright and glorious. Happiness lies in standing beside the one who was oppressed and facing the oppressor so that he may know that it is neither easy nor cheap to oppress others. Happiness lies in giving away what Allah has given us of knowledge, wealth, energy, power, and time. And then it lies in standing before Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, who sees all and knows all, and to ask Him for more so that you can give it all away again and again and again. It is our actions that make our dua worthy of acceptance. It is our actions which are our wasila before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the basis of which we seek forgiveness and His support in all our matters. I am reminded of the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, where he said, reported by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Nabi ﷺ is reported to have said, our Rabb's commandment for every one of His slaves is, spend on others and I will spend on you. Spend on others and I will spend on you. And this is in Bukhari and Muslim. Rasulullah ﷺ is also reported to have said, do not hoard, otherwise Allah will withhold from you. Do not hoard, otherwise Allah will withhold from you. Also in Bukhari and Muslim. Finally, I am reminded of what Rasulullah ﷺ told us, that when we go to visit the sick in the evening, 70,000 angels pray for our forgiveness all night. And when we go to visit the sick in the morning, 70,000 angels pray for our forgiveness until night falls. I remind myself that Rasulullah ﷺ didn't say that simply listening to this hadith or reading it has the same reward. For the reward, we have to act. He didn't say that the person who is sick must be Muslim or related to us. He said, visit the sick. So how about making it a practice to go to the many government hospitals, to spend some time with those poor people who are sick there? Take your children also with you. Take something for those people. Go first to see what the situation is and take things that make sense. Then try to help them in any way you can. Make dua for them as you sit with them. This is the essence and power of da'wah of Islam. You don't have to say a word. Your actions will reach the hearts of people. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to act more than we speak and to benefit us from those actions. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us our transgressions and our weaknesses and our omissions, and to save us from ourselves and from our nufus and from the wasabis of shaitan. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.